It's the True Penny Show at the G1.
Hello and welcome to the True Penny Show, and welcome to the G1 coverage that we are going to bring you this summer on the True Penny Show. We're going to look at every night of the tournament, as we always do, and we're going to look at every match, as we always do, and we have some fine guests to talk about these matches. And my first guest for the first show, having the honour, is Mr. Marcus Green of Total Wrestling Magazine. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Yeah, I had to get in on this. You know, just talk about all the time, G1 is a marathon, not a sprint, so it's going to be a lot to cover, but we're going to get it done.
It is. Now, we have our usual plethora of guests. We have Chelsea Spolin, we have Alex Edwards, we have Alex Watt, and we have Simon Heath. But we've also got some extra special guests. Mike Freeland, who me and Marcus work with on the Total Wrestling Riots podcast, is going to come and join us. And also Christy from Wrestling Sexism and New Japan Gifts is going to come join us as well. And maybe we'll get some other guests in as we go along. Oh, we also have Mo Chatra, famous British wrestling journalist from Power Slam and Total Wrestling and various other places too. So hopefully you'll get to hear a lot of varied and different opinions from people who've been watching New Japan for a while, people who've been around and skirting around the edges and completely new fans to New Japan. But Marcus, you've been a fan of New Japan for a couple of years now. So for those people who are just joining us, where do you think the product is at before we go into the G1? Because obviously the G1's the biggest thing that happens in New Japan all year. Everyone has a lot of showcase matches. Some guys who have not really shined really get the opportunity to. What do you think of when you think of the G1?
Yeah, I think of the, you know, one of the greatest tournaments in wrestling today. You know, like you said, there's a lot of guys who are extremely talented. And, you know, credit to New Japan, always keeping, you know, seemingly the entire roster, you know, more or less, you know, credible, you know, which we don't necessarily get a lot of over here in the States. And they get shine in the G1. And as grueling as it is, you know, the matches are, you know, equally as good. You get to see a lot of these guys elevate, or hell, even guys that you haven't seen, they get put on the scene because of the exposure and the, just the level of competition that the G1 brings. So I just think, you know, as a wrestling fan, if you can't find something that you like in this tournament, I don't know what to tell you.
Right, very true. So the first match, first night, was back on the 14th of July, and that was from Oto Gymnasium in Tokyo. And the first match went to Togi Makabe, who defeated Yoshihashi in 11 minutes and 5 seconds in a thoroughly entertaining match. Now, it was a bit lumpy. I like to describe this as a Volvo from the 80s. Lumpy, but good. It wasn't, like, you know, the most technically adept match I've ever seen because it's got Makabe in it, but it flowed, and it was all right, and there was some good stuff coming from Yoshihashi. Didn't get the win, but a thoroughly entertaining barnstorming start. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, solid stuff, like you say. Not to say the bowl and shoot ugly, but it you know, like you said, it was lumpy. You know, you know, not necessarily a technical marvel by any means, but it got it done. You know, clash of styles, if you will, and like you said, Makabe got the win, dropping that knee down. You know, looked like he's trying to rack up the points. So yeah, a solid open.
It was a bit of an odd, like, King Kong knee. It just didn't seem to. I always think, kind of, he kind of built it up for the next match because he had. I'm trying to remember who he wrestled on night three. Did he wrestle on night three? Yeah, Minoru Suzuki. Kind of give him a fair amount of momentum going into that match, and you could see where the story with Makabe is developing. They don't do a lot with Makabe, but he does kind of. They do kind of, like, when they give him something, they give him something to get his teeth into. Like last year's tournament, he was a bit flat, but there's clearly like a building momentum thing going on here, and I like it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's ironic that you said that, because like a Yoshihashi, you know, a lot of times he kind of fly under the radar, and obviously both guys are extremely credible in between the ropes, but you don't necessarily get interested in the guy unless it's somebody, you know, like a Minoru Suzuki or Kenny Omega that there, or a Naito that kind of bring that other side of him out.
Yeah, definitely. Right, in match two of that particular night, which was a Block A match again, Hangman Page took on Bad Luck Fale in the first meeting of Bullet Club members in a singles match since Firing Squad was debuted to the world at the G1 Special in San Francisco. And it turns out that Bad Luck Fale, as you'd probably expect, as he's also a Tongan, is on the side of Firing Squad. Tama Tonga and Tangaloa came down to interfere in this match, which meant Hangman Page took a DQ victory. Very rare in the G1, because normally they let things go as far as they possibly can. In 8 minutes and 4 seconds, was a bit of a nothing match, though the bits that Bad Luck Fale did were very, very good, and the bits that Hangman Page did were very, very good. But it was a storyline match. It's getting to a point where Tonga and Tangaloa and Bad Luck Fale are kind of trying to run the table a little bit. Kind of a bit pointless as a wrestling match, but very interesting from a storytelling point of view. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, I think we're going to get, obviously, Paige is, you know, one of the guys I'm kind of rooting for in this whole thing. And, you know, for me, this match was not necessarily a throwaway, but it was a continuation, obviously, setting the stage, continuation coming off that G1 special, letting everybody kind of know where, you know, the Tongans kind of stand, you know, as the new firing squad outside of Bullet Club. And also, you know, with Fale, just letting you know kind of what's going to be going on. I mean, obviously, they're going to have a man advantage, but I think we're going to also, like you said, we don't necessarily get a lot of DQs, and I don't think we're going to be seeing too many more, hopefully, as they're extremely rare. But I think, you know, Hangman Page, I think, is going to pull out some more fire matches. But like I said, I think it's obviously a continuation of what we saw in the G1 and just setting the stage for what we look like we're going to be getting for the rest of this G1 with the firing squad.
Yeah, this could be interesting to see how this develops, and it certainly harks back to the old days of Bullet Club, the Prince Devitt days of Bullet Club, when Bullet Club were badass heels that interfered in everything and made everybody's life living hell, and that's really where Firing Squad are coming from. So, yeah. And I'm very up for Firing Squad. I mean, Chelsea was with us last week for last week's show when we talked about the G1 in San Francisco, and she was like, I was everything for Kenny, and then Tama Tonga came out, and I was everything for Tama Tonga. He has got that ability to connect with an audience, and people do feel his frustration. He's been the one that's towed the line for 5 years, and now he gets a chance to tell his side of the story, and I think it's really going to be great.
Yeah, it's like he's ruining the family dynamic, but you also want to go with him because he's like the real cool uncle. It's like, oh, Uncle Tonga's got a point. Yeah.
All right, match three. Well, let's see. Evil wrestled somebody in 16 minutes and 8 seconds, and he lost. And Evil had a really, really good performance.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Evil took an imaginary L for me. You know, I'm definitely be rooting for, you know, Evil as well. I think, you know, this is another situation with a guy like Evil, who can sometimes go under the radar. I think he definitely showed exactly how good he is against his feud with Okada. But also another guy I think some people sleep on a lot of times. But I think he's going to have a great show in his tournament as well, but yeah, like you said, unfortunately took a loss to somebody.
Yeah, we won't mention who that person was, but yeah, Evil had a fantastic match. He always does work well with someone of equal size, which isn't always easy to do. 16 minutes and 8 seconds, and the cage match you just gave it 7.57 stars, so good performance from Evil there.
Yep.
Moving on, match three, the semi-main event of the first night was G1 Climax Block A match, as you'd expect, because that's what we've been talking about. Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace, defeats Minoru Suzuki in 13 minutes and 59 seconds. Now, this was really, really good, as you'd expect from Hiroshi Tanahashi and Minoru Suzuki. Kind of picked up where they left off from their IC title match earlier in the year, where Tanahashi defeated Suzuki, and it appears as though Tanahashi has Suzuki's number at the moment. Minoru Suzuki, not a great start to the tournament, and there's always something going on with Suzuki Gun, so we'll see what happens there. That's going to be one to watch over the next couple of days, I think, especially with what happens on night three. But yeah, what did you think of this match, Marcus?
Great storytelling, like you said. You know, these two, another, you know, great combination, you know, with Minoru Suzuki and someone else, obviously two of the best, you know, in the company and certainly in wrestling today, so. You know, can't expect nothing less than them for the, again, you know, Classic New Japan being able to continue a story no matter how long it's been since, you know, these two guys locked up. But for me, at this point, I'm going to need Tanahashi to put out a restraining order against Suzuki. it's ridiculous. Like, I, you know, normally you'd be like, pray for Tanahashi. I'm just praying for his leg. I'm just praying for his leg because I feel like he just went through this. And it's like the man is going to be limping by night six or what have you. It's just bad. Like,
they're all going to be limping by night six, obviously. But yes, Hiroshi. It's not fair on Hiroshi. Yeah. Is it?
Hiroshi might have to donate his leg. But it's just crazy. You expect nothing less from these two. I just, it's almost cringeworthy because, you know, like, we're going against Suzuki, you're actually suffering. This is no stage, so.
No, it was just phenomenal to watch these two go at it, and it is such a, two guys who have got a combined age of, like, 93 doing matches that are just phenomenal. like showing the young guys how it's done without really leaving their feet. There was a couple of high fly flows in this, but that was about it. It was just so good and so much fun to watch. I watched these two wrestle forever and a day. I can't say enough about it. It was fantastic. Couple of side notes. Hiroshi Tanahashi's hair. How are you feeling about that?
I'm digging it. I mean, a guy can do no wrong. I mean, I think I've seen several compilations on Twitter with a guy. I mean, if he doesn't have some type of endorsements in Japan, like somebody's missing out on both sides. Like, I need somebody to get on that. Like, even when he, like cuts it, it's still good. So, Hiroshi Tanahashi, you know, alone, his hair alone has a history in New Japan. I'm sure eventually we'll get to it and cover.
Minoru Suzuki has washed out his blonde hair dye from his 30th anniversary show. How are you feeling about going back to black now?
I dig it. Yeah. Sometimes I just think, you know, Minoru Suzuki, you know, he's just got all the intangibles. I don't ever think he needs to do anything like pop a color. I just think all straight black is the perfect color for somebody like Suzuki.
But bear in mind, for those of you not listening to the show before or just joining us for G1 coverage, we do talk about hair a lot. And we've started giving it an allotted amount of time. And when you're speaking about Tanahashi and Suzuki, they're the two most interesting hairstyles in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So when they get together, you've got to have a bit of a discussion about it. By the way, if you aren't subscribing to New Japan World, why aren't you? But you should. But if you aren't and you are just listening to us for the results and some analysis, if you go on New Japan World, there is a match between Minoru Suzuki and Kazuchika Okada from Minoru Suzuki's 30th anniversary show. It is free and it is a joyous thing to watch. It's a 30-minute time limit draw. I'm not going to spoil it because it's been out for a month, but it is absolutely fantastic. It's in the pouring rain in Tokyo. There's 18,000 people there screaming, go nuts for Minoru Suzuki. You should watch it. It's fantastic. And it's just an abject lesson in how to do the absolute minimum because you might die at any second and get over like Rover in the process. It was absolutely fantastic, so I recommend that. Now then, the main event from night one was Jay White defeating the leader of his faction, Chaos, Kazuchika Okada, in 25 minutes and 36.7, 7.83 from the cage match users. This was phenomenal, and Jay White continues to prove that he is the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, I wrote a piece for Total Wrestling Magazine's website, which was on there reviewing the G1 from San Francisco, G1 special from San Francisco, and I said there that I think Jay White is now becoming a master heel, and there are very few of them in New Japan Pro Wrestling because people tend to be tweeners, but this is really excellent, and Jay White's work has been fantastic. What did you think of this matchup, Marcus?
Yes, it's crazy. It's like his hero run is like in stages, and like this is like maybe the second stage of it, and now it's starting to click for whatever reason. You know, maybe like you said, it's just time or you know, certain intangibles he had to find, or maybe it was his caliber of opponents. He's adding little things here and there. His arsenal, whatever, you know, combination thing is working now. It's great. Although I still can't help but laugh every time I think about Jay White, just that joke that, our boy Juice told is like, no matter what happens, you'll just go back to being the guy who counts to five in the dark. Joke will never get old for me. But yeah, this match is phenomenal. Jay White is putting on some, you know, some 4 to 5 star caliber matches. It's clear to me now that I'm like watching his matches. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't he a member of Chaos? Because he's really looking Suzuki gunnish right now.
He is. Yes. But
like, yeah.
But bear in mind, Chaos are technically a heel faction. They just turned face because they got rid of the unpopular guys.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Jay White's getting back to basics. That's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe he should be the leader. But
I think that's what he wants.
This was a great match. This was a great match. Like I said, it's kind of that them Suzuki gun tendencies kind of come in at the end. It's like, oh, did you really need to do? It's like, oh, whatever. Okay, the match was still great. But he's gonna do, and it's kind of a situation now where even what you see him do at the end of the match, you know he doesn't necessarily have to do, but that's because, you know, obviously, you know, his heel tendency. So yeah, this is just the start of great matches from throughout this entire tournament.
Right then, we move on to night two, which was a Block B night. Tomohiro Ishii wrestled Toriyano in 8 minutes and 52 seconds. Tomohiro Ishii took the win there. I must admit, I missed this one. I was looking through the list this morning going, oh, I didn't watch that, and I don't know why, because it's two of my favorite wrestlers in the roster. Was it good?
This was pure hilarious. The best way to describe this match in one little goal is like, turnabout is fair play.
Okay.
Because, and I'm actually thankful for this match, because speaking of restraining orders against Suzuki, Ishii should have one as well. But I'm just glad this kind of got a break, that his body got a break away from Suzuki, because you're not going to get that level of punishment from Yano. But Yano is a guy that can surprise you with just what he'll do, what he can do, and surprisingly strong at times. So, a lot of that, a lot of evasion, rolling up in pins, but it came down to basically Ishii finding some way to get the ref distracted, hits a low blow, and rolls Yano up. So, yeah, that was really cool to see.
Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The next
Yes,
matchup
sir.
I did watch, Tama Tonga and Juice Robinson's 14 minutes and 52 seconds. This was really, really good.
Love me
Again,
smash.
yeah, it was just fantastic. Tama got a lot of help from the outside, I must admit, but that's kind of par for the course for Firing Squad and Bullet Club, so I didn't mind that one bit. They're trying to build that character, and Juice and Tama had a really good match. It didn't get so much love from the cage match users, but I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a lot of fun, hard-hitting action, and these guys can go. Marcus, what did you think of these two?
I dig it. These are two of my favorite guys. I'm a Tonga fan. I mean, Tama is just dripping in swag from his entrance all the way throughout. And obviously, Lowell's on the outside doing his thing. But Juice, I don't know who Juice's tailor is, but you're the real MVP. Like, really. But yeah, these two guys, they just really went at it, man. And there's nothing, there are few better in the company than a focused Tama Tonga. Because when he's got a goal, and when he's got his mind set to something, and he's not necessarily worried about all the aesthetics or anything going around him, he is a problem. And I think that's definitely a tone he's setting in this tournament. So it was really cool to to see him get the win, and that gun stun is lethal, man. I love watching him hit it.
I will say this was like something that Chelsea brought up last week. When Gorillas of Destiny are just kind of there, they're not that impressive. But when they've got something they can stick the teeth into, by God, they
Yes.
can go. And this was a good example of that. Juice Robinson is like one of the hottest goom guys in the company right now. Tama Tonga, you've got proper babyface versus proper heel, and they can do a lot of cool stuff with that.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Right, next matchup was Hirooki Goto, current never open weight champion. He wrestled Sanada in 13 minutes and 38 seconds of a very, very good match. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Sanada is kind of rounding out his character a bit. He's doing a lot of different stuff, a lot more subtle stuff, but he still hasn't lost any of the pizzazz of the, what's the word, introverted soullessness of say, Sanada. I love his character. I have done since he debuted in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's funny, he's a guy who was so bland and so clearly had all the skills but didn't know what to do with them 2 or 3 years ago. He's a guy who's beloved in the New Japan locker room, and he's beloved by New Japan fans. And Hirooki Goto is kind of in a similar kind of boat. He was so over in this match, and the fans were so into what he was doing. And yeah, it was just brilliant. I just love this. What do you think, Marcus?
Same, two more of my favorites in this match. I didn't know who to free the roof for, and I'm a Goto fan, but Sonata is the guy. He's the man. He's the Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collected, but will take your head off with that that
Skull
skull,
End,
yeah,
yeah.
skull end. So yeah, another great match. I felt like it could have went either way, but I felt like it came down to experience on Goto's side, because obviously he's won a G1 in the past, correct?
Yeah, yes, he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly when, but he has won the G1 in the past, so he's like, he's going to be one of the favorite guys. If he's a never open weight champion, they tend to finish highly, and he probably will lose to some high profile people, so he's got some challenges coming up. But
Yeah.
yeah, certainly going to be interesting to see what they do with Hirooki Goto in this tournament and Sanada, because I don't think they want him dropping too far down. He's had two good tournaments running. This is his third appearance in the G1 after debuting at Destruction, sorry, Dominion 2 years ago, to help Naito. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with these guys.
Yeah, exactly. And just because Sonata's another one of those guys, like we talk about, Juice, Sonata, and Adam Page. Because
Yeah.
Sonata's coming off a great tag team run with Evil, so I think he's definitely set, for single for a good singles run. I think this tournament's gonna be a good indicator of that.
Okay, the next up was Kota Ibushi defeating Zack Sabre Jr. in 22 minutes and 58 seconds. And honestly, I couldn't remember who won this match. Just looking at that result made me go, what? Because I couldn't remember, because I was so lost in how beautiful this wrestling match was. Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. are just outstanding professional wrestlers. Their styles match so well, because you've got kind of like a striker and an aerial guy versus a defensive submission wrestler. they match up perfectly. They always have great matches. And, you know, Triple H must be kicking himself that he didn't get these two signed. What do you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, that he and everybody else in that company should be kicking themselves for several reasons. But I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad Kota Ibushi played them kind of like the side chick when he was there. We just went out on a date. I don't want to commit. Don't stop calling me. But
I've got this other guy I'm looking at somewhere off in the distance.
Exactly. You know, I'm not going to turn around. This is a complete opposite. I think we were talking about Makabe and who was it that Makabe was
Makabe
against?
And Minoru Suzuki. No, Makabe and the first night was Makabe and
was it Ishii?
Yeah, no, Makabe and Yoshihashi. There we go.
Yeah. When we talk about that, that was kind of a negative clash of styles. Like you said, this was a perfect clash of styles where you had that defensive and submission base and against aerial on the striker, and it blended perfectly well. And I like how they pointed out on commentary, as good as Zack Sabre Jr. is, even with his style, his body lends itself so perfectly to his style, but it's also, the perfect, target because he is lanky and it doesn't necessarily have the meat on his bones. Mm. All you kind of need is a series of hard strikes to kind of put him down, and Kota Ibushi is the perfect guy to deliver that type of offense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even with that level of offense, it only takes one bad position to get in for the Sabre to tap you out. And I think it was great in this match. I think Kota went for, that soccer kick, and Zach caught him. I never get tired of watching that. But, that Bomae knee, man, that point-blank range knee will get you every time. So, this is another pairing that I could watch fight over and over.
And it was obviously Kevin Kelly told that story as well. They didn't Kota Ibushi didn't debut the Kamigori knee until after he'd wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. and he lost last year to Zack Sabre Jr. So there's ongoing stories being told here that call back to a couple of years ago. Speaking of which, the main event of 9-2, Kenny Omega, the reigning IWGP heavyweight champion, and Tetsuya Naito, the reigning G1 Climax champion, had their first match since the final last year. And this was ended the rubber match. Kenny takes the win over Tetsuya Naito. So this was the G1 rubber match because they'd had two final appearances against each other, two finals appearances against each other. I think last year it was a block stage. In 2 years ago, it was the final last year. You have a lot of history going on with these two, and Kenny Omega takes the win to go ahead in the series. But it was a breathtakingly good match because these two really know how to turn it on, and they have to because there's a lot of expectation on them in this match now. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, I thought it was damn good. Kenny Omega's looking incredible. Like, coming off, just winning, obviously you want to, step your game up and keep it consistent. I think, Kenny's in probably the best shape we've seen him in, and everything he's doing is looking fluid and crisp. Going against somebody like Naito, it's interesting because Naito, is always, that Train Kilo guy. But again, it's still that you basically got the Train Kilo beat out of you at Dominion by Jericho. So you still got that whole thing looming, and it kind of feels like in some form or fashion, he's still kind of, trying to get back to that full Train Kilo state. Because in this match, it kind of felt like he had to, again, find a lot of his offense because it felt like Omega was one step ahead of him. But Naito brought it nonetheless. So. Yeah, I'm glad they got to come back and kind of finish their series out with this match.
Yeah, Kenny Omega talked on the Jim Ross podcast a couple of weeks ago about the pressure that's on him as IWGP heavyweight champion in the G1. And he has to produce different stories, like literally like 18 different stories this month to really get over what the championship means to him, how it's affecting him as a champion, set up challenges for the future pay-per-views. There's a lot of pressure on him, and similarly there's a lot of pressure on Naito because at the minute he's without a championship and he's kind of a bit lost in the shuffle. So he has to produce matches to make sure he has good things to come in the future. Now, the obvious path for him is going to be Chris Jericho sometime after the G1 Climax. I'm thinking probably King of Pro Wrestling or probably Destruction in kind of November time, just before the tag league starts. So we'll see what happens there, but there's a lot of stuff going on for both these wrestlers and a lot of pressure on both these wrestlers.
Yeah, but luckily they can get down.
They can indeed. Right, the next match was Hangman Page lost in 17 minutes and 17 seconds to someone. It was a bit unfortunate for Van Page. He had a fantastic performance in the first two matches. I enjoyed his work here. This match was about 11 minutes too long for what it was supposed to be. But yeah, Hangman Page is doing all right.
Yeah, I really dug this match. Ironically enough, that other person, this is probably one of my more favorable outings from them.
Yeah.
But most of that had to do because of Page, the way he took it to him. Even going back to night one, the way he just took it to Fale. Like, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't hold back.
Yeah, definitely. So, moving on then to match two of night three. Evil defeats Yoshihashi. 12 minutes and 37 seconds. A block A match. This was actually fantastic. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed this. Yoshihashi again showing some bright spark and fire. Evil is kind of the perfect opponent for him. Yoshihashi as a babyface against Evil works really, really well. Probably actually a little bit short for what I wanted, but what did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, this was another good showing. You know, these two guys, you know, brought off some good stuff for each other. But for whatever reason, with Yoshihashi is interesting. Like, he has a lot of good offense, but it's for some reason, it's nothing he ever hits feels like it can really put somebody away at the caliber of talent that he'd be going against. And a lot of times, you'll get confidence in him possibly winning if he works the arm for like most of the match and then, you know, goes for that butterfly lock. But other than that, nothing he really ever hits feels like he can put somebody away. So, you know,
well, that butterfly lock that he does, when he first started using it in last year's G1, it looked like a surefire finisher, and then he seemed to stop snugging it up, and it doesn't look anywhere near as good. to be blunt, it's just like, oh. So yeah, it's he needs a finisher, he needs to change it up, and needs a new finisher, really. That kind of like would give him more oomph, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, then. The next match was, speaking of oomph, you probably can't really get much more oomph than these two, could you? Togi Makabe defeats Minoru Suzuki. He was on 0 points after two nights. This is something we haven't thought would ever happen. 14 minutes and 58 seconds of a dad fight, as I would say, of the highest order. This was everything you expect these two to do and more. They don't like each other. They hit each other really, really hard, but it's a lot of fun to watch. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, there wasn't no cuddling in this match.
No love.
Absolutely. Like you said, it was a dad fight. Michael Bay is another one of those guys, you know, on the caliber of Ishii's and you know, others that just absolutely go hard. And Suzuki, I mean, whether you go hard or not, Suzuki's going to make you go hard just with the way he just bitch slaps guys, man. It's just insane. You really just have to really be going off adrenaline firing back at him. But yeah, really took it to Suzuki. Like I said, I think sometimes Makabe slept on, but I didn't expect him to get the win. But, I mean, look, when you're coming off the top rope, dropping a knee on somebody's head, you can obviously beat a lot of people. So, you know, that beating Suzuki is quite impressive, and that's going to go a long way in this tournament.
And he also got Suzuki whilst he was stood up with the King Kong knee this time, which was interesting. Because he had to adjust. Makabe's a big bloke to adjust in midair.
Exactly.
Like, okay, and not take your head off at the same time. So, yeah, it was impressive performance by Makabe. He usually pulls out one or two a year, and it's usually in the G1 where he pulls out something special. And this may be as much as he does, but it was worth it for this one match. All right, then, the semi-main event of night three was Bad Luck Fale. And he defeated Kazuchika Okada in 13 minutes and 38 seconds with a bit of help from Firing Squad. This was a lot of fun, and as usual, Okada brings out the best in Fale. But Fale dropped 40 pounds for this tournament, and he looks good. He looks like he can move. He's got a lot of his mobility back. I'm pleased that he's done that for his own health more than anything else, but it does mean we get some wrestling matches, which are a lot of fun to watch. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, same. I really dug this match. It's always interesting seeing, you know, what Fale's going to do against certain guys. And obviously, there's going to be that firing squad element. But, you know, another, you know, great outing. Okada, just like, hey, man, you got to take it to him early. And he did that coming off the, you know, top with that moonsault and just looking good all around. Okada's a guy, obviously, coming off that great run he had. Kind of feels like he's finding himself as well. Changing the hair up and whatnot, I switched the theme up, and you know, obviously still every bit is good, but again, trying to, I guess, find himself with who he is outside of that championship. So, but yeah, he's definitely getting it done. But again, the firing squad, man, I think whoever was Thomas slid in for the gun stun. caught him.
Yeah.
And literally got dropped from the Empire State Building at his folly.
So. Indeed. So yeah, it was such a good match to watch, and so good to see Bad Luck Farley back on firing on all cylinders again.
Yeah.
The main event of night three was Jay White once again. That's two main events in the G1 in a row for him. He defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi 24 minutes and 2 seconds and got the right to give the go home promo where he said, "Look what I've done to Okada, look what I've done to Tanahashi." Really ramping up that heel heat, but this match was excellent, really well put together, and Tanahashi had his work boots on to get Jay White over. Jay White, again, has been exemplary, and he's really reveling in this role of the badass. What did you think of this, Marcus?
Yeah, Jay White looks like he's trying to give Omega a little run for the money on the best bout side of the game, on the series that he's on right now. I mean, just take it, beating Okada and then Tanahashi, like, that's no small thing. That automatically gets you on the radar. But just the work, you know, that he's putting in with these matches, he's looking damn good. Obviously, Tanahashi, you know, is a standard in his company. But again, it's like, Tanahashi, keep him away from your leg, please. definitely looking forward to seeing what, you know, Jay White continues to do throughout this tournament. And got who we got next, but he's going to be somebody to watch.
Indeed. Well, the next matches are, I'm looking at New Japan World now, and they're advertising for Kenny Omega and Hiroki Goto, and Tetsuya Naito versus Tomohiro Ishii, Kazuchika Okada versus Hangman Page, and Togi Makabe versus Evil. Tomohiro Ishii versus Goto, and the big one on the 21st, Tama Tonga versus Kenny Omega. That is going to be unbelievable. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Hangman Page on the 22nd, as well as Okada and Makabe. Those are the big matches coming up in the next 7 days. Anything that stands out to you there, Marcus, or is it just going to be all about Tama Tonga and Kenny?
Just all of it. It feels like a finals card, really.
Yeah, it does. This is the thing. Me and Chelsea were discussing it when we previewed the tournament last week. Is so many big names. They've got so much star power. You know, we were talking about Cody not making an appearance this year like he didn't do last year, but they don't miss him at all, do they?
No, they don't. And I feel like a lot of that has to do with a lot of that power was coming off of that inner turmoil storyline. Obviously, like you said, you got the rise of Juice. You got Tama, obviously, like I said, you know, separating Bullet Club, but obviously want to prove his own. Because I think a lot of times, Tama is another one of these guys. He's been in a lot of these G1s. And he's looked very impressive, but he necessarily hasn't gotten across that line that a lot of people kind of expect. So maybe, you know, there's that. And just continuing a lot of stories. And a lot of these matches, like, come off like finals matches. Like, Jay White has had two finals type of matches.
Yeah.
So early on. So, you know, just imagine what we're going to get. And now you got Tama versus, you know, Kenny. That's just going to be a cataclysm. There's a number of great stuff coming up.
So that's this weekend's shows. There's a show today, in fact, which will be starting in about an hour's time after we recorded this. This won't go up until tomorrow, unfortunately. But, you know, you've got Night 4 coming up today, or yesterday as you listen to it. There's a card this weekend on Sunday and on Saturday. So we will probably be back on Monday or Tuesday of next week. Our usual recording schedule goes out the window during the G1 because we watch, we record, we watch, we record, and it's whoever's available at the time. So we won't be doing shows on a Monday like we normally do. It's just going to be when you get them. So I'd like to thank, first of all, Mr. Marcus Green for joining me today on the G1 special. I appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Always a blast talking this stuff with you.
Yeah, and always a blast talking it with you as well, Marcus. I don't know who will be on the next show. We haven't got that far yet. So you can follow Marcus at Paradox Kid on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
And you can follow me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can follow the show at True Penny Show on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook and Patreon, where you can support the True Penny Show and keep us free forever. Thank you very much for your time, Marcus.
My pleasure.
And we'll take care, and we'll speak to you soon. Have a good weekend. Bye.